Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time we are having here. Pacific Coast Camp. Just amen. Enjoying the blessings of the Lord. My, did you enjoy that choir tonight? Hallelujah. I got to looking at that choir and the ages in that choir, and I thought, I wonder if them that are a little bit older realize how much they're inspiring. Them younger ones on the front row, just to be in the choir with them, singing together, magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder if any of us know how many lives we are influencing by everything that we do. And I so appreciate the privilege of being here. Amen. It is a great, great honor. And to be here with the young people, with the adults that are a part of the family camp. Amen. I promise you, I'm trying to help all ages that are here. And I believe the Holy Ghost wants to do that. Amen. Open up your Bible with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 21. 21st chapter of the book of 1 Kings. A very familiar story that I'm sure every one of you could probably at least partially quote. Amen. Some of the three verses that I'm going to read to you here. 1 Kings chapter number 21. And we will begin the first verse of that chapter. 1 Kings chapter 21. Verse number 1 said, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard." Everybody say, better vineyard. "Then yet, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Hallelujah. Amen. You ready to help me preach about this here tonight? Glory to God. Amen. I'll try to explain it briefly to you, but the title of my message that I have on my heart here tonight is The Perpetual Price of Our Apostolic Inheritance. Now notice the word perpetual. Might be just a little bit over the head of the juniors here, but I'm sure that every one from that age up completely understands the meaning of the word perpetual. And I want to preach about the perpetual price of our apostolic heritage. Would you lift your hands unto the Lord and ask God to speak with us here tonight? God, we've gathered in these fairgrounds, Lord, here in Ventura, California. Oh, God, with a deep love that we have for the apostolic inheritance that you have given unto us, Lord. We are praying, God, fully believing and trusting that the anointing of the Spirit of God would come, Lord. Hallelujah. Entrance into every heart, God. Every teenager, every child, God. Every mom, every dad, every grandparent that's here, God. I pray, let the Holy Ghost speak, Lord. Let it speak, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. The church that I am privileged to pastor blessed my wife and I at our 25th pastoral anniversary with a all-expense-paid trip over to the country of Italy. An absolutely tremendous place that we enjoyed immensely. One of the places that we went there, however, stood out in my mind, and that was what they is the equivalent of a national park, like what we have here in the United States, but instead of it just being the beauty of nature alone, inside of that national park, there are five little small villages that are tucked into the coastline there, the Mediterranean Sea, and each one of these, the way they pronounce it in Italian, is Cinque Terre. That simply means five villages that are there. Each one of these villages has been around literally for hundreds and hundreds of years, and many generations have come and gone in those villages there. And they are preserved. It is such an amazing thing to go and see and eat and experience it, very much like it could have been done many hundreds of years ago. And just a fascinating, enjoyable time that we had. The privilege of going to visit the little villages that were there was just more than I could handle in the 3 days that we had to spend there. My wife had read up on a little deal that they had between one village and the other village where the boys from one village wanted to sneak over and see the girls in another village. Boy, do I got these kids' attention. And so it was, they didn't all have boats. They didn't all have a way. And to go up the long mountain pass that was there would take them too long. And so they made a little trail right along there, along the edge of the cliff. And they call it Via del Amor, the way of love. And they had this little village there, this little trail, Via del Amor, still there today. Well, of course, amen. That sweet little Texan girl that I married wanted to take me on a walk along Via del Amor. And I want to tell you, I was all too willing to go. Amen. And off we went along on that trail like two little lovebirds, amen, holding hands. And it wasn't long till that wasn't enough, amen. She wanted to use our camera to take pictures of us kissing on Via del Amor. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, nothing wrong with that if you got a license. I feel sorry for them folks that have a license and won't use it. Don't you? Amen. And there we were out on Via del Amor. And amen. I said, baby, this is kind of a little hard. Oh, no. She said, we can do it. Amen. And she had it all figured out how she would hold out her hand like this with the camera and we'd smooch and she'd take a picture. No telling where that picture was aiming, at the stars or the ground, or really didn't matter to me anyhow. Amen. And there we were, just enjoying ourselves. And, you know, there were some young pups that came walking along, and they felt sorry for us old-timers. Would you like for us to take a picture of you? Amen. And, oh, my good wife said, sure. So, amen. We had a time all along the Via del Amor. Amen. Some of you are dreaming about that day. One of these days, amen, enjoyed seeing all of the things that were there. But one evening, just before sunset, I went over to a village that I hadn't been to yet. And I was reading in the tour book guide a little bit about the villages, and the thought occurred to me, I've seen now 4 of these villages, and I have yet to see a cemetery. Where in the world do they bury their dead? I mean, after all, that is part of life, that you're going to live many generations. Where do they bury their dead? Does everybody, amen, get a rock tied around them and thrown into the ocean and the shark bait is there? What happens? Do they believe in cremation? And I began to read sitting there, and they described what's always been the custom of those villages that are there, that because space is so limited and there would be no way in the world to have the conventional cemetery for people to be buried in, with the limit of space that is there, they created burial space and made some crypts similar to stone coffins that set above the ground. And there they were. I scanned and looked around, and sure enough, I saw it there. There couldn't have been over 20 to 25 of them up there hanging on the cliff just right along. And I looked at that, and I thought, it still doesn't make sense to me. How could a village that has, I don't know, probably 300 people living in this village, how could 25 burial spots be enough for all of the people that have ever lived and died in all of those hundreds of years? And I began to read the details about it. And they describe that what happens there is they utilize these spaces for burial for people for just one generation. You are allowed, after you die, you are allowed a space inside of one of those crypts that are there, the stone coffins, and you're only allowed to be there free of charge. There's no cost whatsoever for you, but it's only for one generation. At the end of that generation, your family members, your sons and your daughters, and all that you leave behind have the option of whether they want to start paying the price for rent, monthly basis of paying rent for your bones to stay inside of that coffin. And anyone that desires to pay for that, as long as there's payment being made for that, you are allowed to be there unmolested. But the very first month that payment is not made, that's not your final resting place. The very first month that nobody coughs up the cold cash, that says, I am going to pay for my daddy's bones to stay there for one more month. The moment that the default is made on the payment, without any fanfare at all, your bones are taken out of the coffin in a small little place of dirt that is called the common grave, is where they dig it up, and ashes are turning to ashes and dust are turning to dust, and your bones get thrown inside of the common grave, mixed in with everybody else's bones from all of the generations that went before you. It must have been a very, very difficult proposition for each one of them to cross that bridge. We live in America. We don't know anything like that. We know what it's like to pay a price, but not a perpetual price, to have a place to honor our mother and our father and our forefathers that have gone on before us. But there, I can just see a man, a daughter standing in front of mama's coffin and saying, Mom, man, I really, really, really wish I had the money to pay for another month, but I've got sick babies, and I've got kids that are needing shoes, and I've got the family needs that are there, and if I had it, I'd keep on paying it forever and ever. But I really, what would you want me to do, Mom? What would you want me to do, Dad? And little by little, amen, they began to rationalize the fact that life is for the living. And I'm sure that my mom or my dad would want for me to just simply take care of the daily necessities of life. Amen. And so the village has never ran out of space. Hear this preacher tonight, because sooner or later, almost everybody gets tired of paying the price. I'm going to say that again. Sooner or later, 99.9% of the people that ever lived in that village got tired of paying the perpetual price that had to be paid for the inheritance of their fathers. Sooner or later, almost everybody gets weary and tired of paying the price that has to be paid. I'm here to preach to you, amen, that there are hard choices that you and I have to make about this apostolic heritage that has been given unto us. There are hard choices because there is currency that has to be exchanged by us if we want to keep on honoring the inheritance and the heritage of our fathers. Amen. There is a perpetual price that I preach to you about here tonight that must be paid by every individual of every generation to keep our apostolic heritage from going into the common grave. of mixing and mingling with all of the rest of the religions of this world in which you and I live. There is a price that every child, from the youngest child to the oldest adult that is here, I'm telling you, you're going to have to shell it out on a monthly basis. You're going to have to dig in and say, I not only was willing to pay it at Pacific Coast Camp, but I'm willing to pay it when I start back to school in September. I'm willing to pay it when I become a teenager. I'm willing to pay it when I become a young adult. I'm willing to pay the price of this apostolic heritage that has been given unto me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sad truth of what I'm preaching about. I got to thinking about Elder Morton today and what a great man and influence that he has been in all of our lives. But I thought the sad truth is that the bones and the teachings of Elder Morton have a 99.9% chance of going to the common grave after just one generation. Unless somebody gets the spirit of Naboth. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. It's the spirit that came on that boy that day. I hope I'm preaching to Naboth and company here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. A spirit that came on him that said, better vineyard. You have got to be kidding. Amen. There is no better vineyard in all of the world, Ahab, than the vineyard you're looking at today. There is nothing that I will ever swap or exchange or refuse to pay the price. Amen. For the treasure that my forefathers have left unto me. There's no grape juice like that grape juice. Amen. There's nothing that can compare to the vineyard that was given to me, fella. I got news for you. It is not for sale. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. But Ahab is alive and well today, talking to this generation on a daily basis. Amen. He's making offers that some think are too good to refuse. A better location, more land, better irrigation, a better harvest, a better paycheck. Come on, be practical, Naboth. Isn't it all about grapes anyway? And if I can get you more grapes, if I can get you bigger and better thinking, amen. If I can get things bigger than daddy ever had it, and bigger than your grandpa ever had it, amen. Won't that entice you just a little bit? Amen. If I can get it where you got more notoriety, and more fame, and more acceptance, and more folks knowing about the grapes you raised. Amen. If I can get it like that, wouldn't you like to make a deal with me, boy? Wouldn't you enjoy? Think about all of that. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So I preached to you about the perpetual price of our apostolic heritage. Let me tell you, our apostolic heritage, amen, has been handed to us that there is only one God. Thank you for singing about it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Anybody that doesn't believe that there is only one God is in sin. They're in sin. They're in sin. They're not a Christian. They're not saved. They're not on their way to heaven. He said you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe there is only one God. But there's a perpetual price to pay if we're going to hang on to that. We've got a generation that comes along and says, hey, we're all one. Join up with us. Be a part of this singing we're having. Come on, be a part. And along come, amen, the Ahabs. Remember, Ahab wasn't a Trinitarian. He was a compromising one God leader. Yes, he was. And along come the Ahabs. I've heard them. I've heard with my own ears them saying, listen, we're missing it by not mixing and mingling with the Trinitarians. We have to be, amen, the one that mingles with them to show them what there is. And I even heard one use the illustration. He said it's like bees that cross-pollinate. Got to be willing to go, you know, to different flowers and cross-pollinate if we're ever going to be fruitful in evangelism. Amen. He brought forth the argument. Amen. Ahab's still alive and well today. That you've got to cross-pollinate with all of those others. Oh, something didn't bear witness with my Holy Ghost when I heard him say that. Amen. I went down to the library. I said, God, what's wrong? That's a lie. I don't know how, what. But I went to the section, looked up bees, honeybees. Amen. Opened it up. And the first book, first page that I read, it said, all honeybees practice flower fidelity. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, amen, every honeybee, if it's sucking on orange blossoms, it gets hooked on orange blossom nectar, and it doesn't go suck on lemons. Oh, hallelujah. I thought, Ahab, you lying devil, you. Amen. We're one God people, and all we want to be around is other one God people. All we want to worship with is other one God people. All we want to sing with is other one God people. All we want to dance and shout with is other one God people. It's a part of the heritage that we gotta pay the price for. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the price you'll pay is the same thing that Naboth paid. They'll mock you. They'll lie on you. They'll try to find ways to destroy you. When you refuse on the job or at the school to nod your head when they say everybody's going to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. When they say all churches, amen, are leading to the spiritual path. And there's something in you that stands there like Naboth and said, sorry, Charlie, it ain't that way. And they'll extract a price out of you every time. But keep paying it, Brother Naboth. Keep paying it, Sister Naboth. You've got something that's worth it. You've got something that's worth it. You've got something more valuable than they could ever dream of having. Hallelujah. Our apostolic heritage teaches us there's only one plan of salvation. You know, I was raised in the generation that said, amen, well, at least all of those of the Christian faith are all part of the same common salvation. That was the philosophy of the world. Let me tell you, this generation's taking it a whole step further. You live around L.A., or probably where you live, you see these bumper stickers that say, coexist. And each one of those symbols, one's for Islam, one's for Wicca, one's for Judaism, one's for Buddhism, one's for Taoism. And the T on the end is the cross for Christianity. The first time ever that witchcraft was ever elevated up to an equal level with Christianity. The first time, I'm showing you the common grave, my friend. I'm showing you the common grave. Oh, yes I am. Hallelujah. You say it could never happen to any of us. I got news for you, friend. Amen. Brother Russian mentioned my dad, the same one God apostolic preacher that raised me, raised a daughter that's deep into New Age religion, tonight writing children's books, infecting the minds of children. Raised a younger brother, amen, that's teaching his children out of the Quran. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, you have no idea what can happen in just one generation in the spirit and the attitude that our world is in today, that said lower all the boundaries, destroy all the barriers, put everybody together. Don't be cantankerous. Don't have a bad attitude. Everybody can be saved. Oh, let me tell you, friend, the super pastors, amen, are the ones that are saying, look at the better vineyards that we got. Look at the congregations that we got. Look at the mega churches that we got. Look at what we have. But oh, my friend, the problem is they have to finally secretly admit that Christianity is maybe not the only way that you can be saved. In the common grave, all bones start looking alike. There is no difference between Muslim bones and atheist bones and Buddhist bones and Catholic bones and one God apostolic bones. When they get buried in the common grave, they all start looking the same. They all start mingling together. But oh my God, if the spirit of Naboth could come upon some one God apostolic young people that say, Ahab, sing your song to somebody else. Amen. I will keep paying the price of the heritage that was given to me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Acts 2:38 is not our message. Acts 2:38 is the only message. Amen. It is the only message. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the only message. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Be seated. Our apostolic heritage taught us that separation was God's idea. Whew, hallelujah. And since it was God's idea, ain't nobody else got a right to mess with it. God got a hold of old Abraham. He said, Abraham, amen, if you want to be a part of my people here on the earth, he said, you're going to have to get up and get out of the land of your kindred. Amen. You're going to have to be willing. Lot somehow wasn't willing to pay that price. And his children were buried in the common grave. Yes, they were. But Abraham, something inside of his spirit said, it doesn't matter if my family mocks at me and said, oh, you think you're too holy. You think you can't hang with us anymore. Amen. You think you're too good for us now. Amen. Go ahead, Abraham. Take all the heat. Take all the abuse. Take everything they say to you. God's going to give you an inheritance. Amen. Like none other. God's going to bless your life. God's going to be there for you. Hallelujah. This Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Are you willing to pay the price? It's gym class in public school when everybody else is wearing shorts. Are you willing to pay the perpetual price for this apostolic heritage? Said, I'll pay it. Laugh at me if you want to. Mock at me if you want to. I've got a hold of something you only dream about having. I've got a vineyard like no other vineyard that ever was in this world. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 Brother Booker so beautifully preached to us. Amen. And he made mention of a book that if you start to read it, let me warn you, you'll be there a while. Written by Edward Gibbon. And he told us a lot about that. I happen to have read that book recently, and I was so proud to make it to the end of the book. I even brought it to the pulpit that night. Amen. It's an incredibly long read, but in it, he talks about idolatry that was very much a part of the Roman Empire. And he describes that the only people in the whole face of the earth that would not submit themselves to idolatry were the Jews and those first century apostolic one God Christian folks. Oh, hallelujah. And that all of the rest of the cultures had no problem going along with anything and everything to do with idolatry here and there. And he documents the countless martyrs that took place because these early Christians absolutely would not bow at the altar of these idols that was there. They gave them public martyrdom. It was a public shame. They would bring them all together, and a Christian would walk up to that altar, and they'd say, all you got to do is bow down to this altar, and you'll live. But if you won't, you'll die. And they would shake their head no, and they would be killed. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them died that way, till finally the powers that be caught on. And they said, you know what? We're making this harder than it has to be. When we're doing these public spectacles, there's peer pressure on these one God folks. Because other one God folks are watching whether they bow or they don't bow. And there's peer pressure. And some of them probably would bow if nobody was looking. If nobody knew whether they bowed or not. If we could find a way to get them all off to themselves, and then we could give them private opportunities to see what they really believe when they're all alone. Oh, hallelujah. Those private opportunities are still happening in the lives of every person that I preach to tonight. Amen. The private opportunities. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. We won't tell your buddies in the youth group. We won't tell your pastor. We won't tell your mama. We won't tell your daddy. Nobody in the world is going to know but just you. And so you can make a choice all on your own. Hey, don't misunderstand me, my friend. I am thrilled for each one of you that are blessed to go to a Christian school. Amen. And people brag about it all the time, that a Christian school is positive peer pressure. And thank God for that positive peer pressure. But if that's all that's keeping you from bowing at the altars of this world, sooner than you realize it, you're going to graduate from that Christian school, and you're going to get a job where nobody on that job is a part of your church, and you're going to start getting private opportunities to see what you're going to do in front of the idols of this world, to see how you're going to react. Amen. And there's a God in heaven that said, I'm going to wait and I'm going to see if they're then willing to pay the perpetual price for their apostolic heritage when nobody is around. So you see, my friend, Ahab doesn't come and make his offer at a family reunion. He doesn't come when all the family's around pressuring you, Naboth, to say, no, don't. Naboth, don't give in to Ahab. Ahab catches you when you're all alone. Ooh, anybody with the preacher here tonight? When you're all alone is when Ahab comes to make his offer and make his proposal. It got to the place, I read it in the book, it got to the place where the Roman authorities finally decided that we don't really have to have them bowing down all the way to these altars to be satisfied that they are fully compromised. If they'll just show a little bit of an indication that they're going along with what we're doing, we will spare their lives. We don't want to kill them in the process. Amen. We want to give them an out with some dignity. And it got to the place, amen, that the early Christians were allowed and told, you don't have to kiss the altar. You don't have to bow down to the altar. All you have to do is throw a few grains of incense toward the altar. That's all you got to do. And we're convinced that you're really one of us. That's all. Nobody's going to be watching. Nobody's going to be around. We're going to take you in a private chamber where there's an altar there. Just one of us are going to witness it. Our lips are sealed, buddy. They're sealed tight. The difference between you and the glory world is if you just pitch a few grains of incense toward the altar of the idol, we'll pat you on the back and say, great job. Great job. Everything's fine. Everything's cool, bud. Everything's cool. Amen. You know, we know, everything is perfectly fine. Oh, God. Let me ask some of you young people. Let me probe. I pray that God would probe into your spirit. What areas of your life are you throwing a few grains of incense toward the heathen idols of this world? You know, as a pastor, I get thrilled when the Dodgers get knocked out of the World Series early. Or the Lakers get bumped out of the finals early. Because there's something stirs up in my heart when I see young men hoping church will be dismissed so they can run out to the car and turn on their radio. Throw their grains of incense toward the heathen altars of this world. Something is wrong, my friend. This world knows you ain't loving this heritage like you're supposed to love it. You ain't loving your God like you're supposed to love it. Amen. Or you'd want to be in His presence. You'd want to be at His altar. Saying there ain't no ball game in the world that's half as important as the altar that I'm kneeling at right now, worshiping and magnifying the one true God. Oh, yeah. What grains of incense? No. It's not. It's not full blown bowing. With that little article out of the paper called "Growing Up Bonnie Bell," little article that tells and describes how Bonnie Bell, the famous marketer. Amen. Marketer figured out how to hook, here's what it says, hooking young customers early and keeping them on the line. That the 4 to 6 year old girls get going with a lip balm. The 7 to 10 year old girls take it on to clear lip gloss. The 11 to 13 year old girls go to tinted gloss. And the 14 and beyond go to glossy lip color. That's USA Today, my friend. That's not a one God Pentecostal preacher trying to make your life miserable. But when you sit there to get that pedicure and manicure, and instead of telling them, I go natural. Oh, these kids know what I'm talking about. You better believe they do. I wonder what the God that dug you out of a depth of sin is thinking when he sees you throwing them grains of incense toward that altar of vanity of this world in which we live. Amen. When all of those magazines that promote, amen, makeup and lipstick and the passions of this world are what you want to look at and what you want to read about. I wonder what your God is thinking when that's going on. Amen. There's one of my children. They hadn't bowed yet, but they're there. They're throwing grains of incense toward the altar. And the world is saying it's okay. We know in your heart you're really one of us. We know if you didn't have that strict mom and dad that you had, you'd be full-blown bowing down with the rest of us. If you didn't have that ridiculous preacher that you've got, you'd have the whole junk on. You'd look like the world. You'd dress like the world. You'd act like the world. Grains of incense thrown toward the altar. A whole generation of oneness Pentecostals that took a stand, all of us did, against video, have suddenly decided that video clips on the computer are okay. I'm sorry, I'm dumb and simple. I don't get the logic. Is it that one puff off the cigarette isn't bad? It's only if you smoke the whole pack that it's bad? Or do you have to smoke a whole carton for it to get bad? If we took a stand against video, amen, our forefathers gave us that inheritance. If the computer age costing us too much to keep paying for it with the new technology that comes out, that said, I'm sorry, but we ain't going in the common grave. We ain't going there. Amen. We don't need any of that. Amen. We never did. We never will. We're not even throwing grains of incense toward that altar. We belong to God, and we won't come close to bowing down to it. Oh, hallelujah. Am I the only one that's shocked beyond words when people that have stood against television so strongly crane their necks to watch the news in the restaurants? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it was wrong in 1955, it's still wrong in 2008. Laugh at me, mock at me. I'll pay the price gladly. I'll
I'll keep on shelling it out. I'll pay the price till the day I die. And I hope to God my children get it in their heart that said I'm on pay. My daddy is not going in the common grave. He's not going down with the rest of them.
American Idol is just what they say it is. Music, entertainment, Hollywood, movies. Thank you, Brother Booker, for your message here today. It's exactly, amen, that is idolatry. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. Amen. They come along and say now, well, pardon me for preaching a little while here tonight. It's okay. You ain't got nowhere to go. They come along, amen, and have decided, amen, said the top 10 movies announced at the Christian Oscars. Recent ceremony honoring films that increase people's understanding of the love of God. Increased there. The Christian Film and Television Commission, which awards movies based on biblical principles and positive family values. Well, this is quite interesting here till I got to the bottom of it. Amen. They named the most inspiring movie, Rat-Tat-Tonville, the animated film from Walt Disney Pictures, was named number one on the list of 10 best family films in the year 2007. Huh. Now, you don't have to live in Burbank, but if you ever drive through the 134 freeway, I want to ask you to take a look on the north side of that freeway and see the building that has the name at the Walt Disney Studios of Animation. And that building is in the shape, the whole building is in the shape of the witch's hat. They're not one bit shy about them being in the sorcery and witchcraft. But there's some one God apostolics that hadn't figured that out when it comes to Veggie Tales. That hadn't figured out that all of the family-friendly stuff, amen, that is supposed to be being produced, that now it's okay for you to have that. If you've ever read your Bible, my friend, the book said that bitter and sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. I'm sorry, friend. Amen. There's not one thing that Walt Disney produces, amen, that's anything but bitter water. There's not anything in the Christian Oscars that a child of God needs to be drinking at, or letting your grandchildren drink at, or letting anybody in the family drink at. I'm preaching about the perpetual price of our apostolic heritage. Some of you may not be willing to keep on paying the price, but you're looking at one boy that'll pay it no matter what it costs me. That'll pay it no matter how hard it is. I am going to pay the price for this heritage. To the young men that are here, be seated. I ask you, is sports become an idol. Not that you've bowed to yet, but that you're throwing grains of incense to. If only I had a chance to be on the high school ball team. Man, they saw the triple-doubles I could do, the above-the-rim play that I could do, but the scouts could only come and watch and see what I can do. If only. What would I look like in a muscle shirt? Wonder how cool I'd look with some facial hair on. Yeah, little peach fuzz here can grow my own Fu Manchu. Yeah. The young lady, oh God help me Jesus, privately stands in front of the mirror. Said, how would I look in a miniskirt? I wonder what a low neckline would look like on me. You know, not all of us have turned to cottage cheese, and I could show off my belly button too, couldn't I? Just because you're Pentecostal doesn't mean you don't have curves, you know. How would my hair look if it was trimmed just a little bit? Wonder what a little makeup would do to my face. What would skin-tight jeans look like on me walking down the mall one day? And there's a God that says you're all alone in front of that mirror. I'm watching to see if any grains of incense are going to be thrown toward that altar in your private moment. If the musicians come tonight, I ask you, is the perpetual price of our apostolic heritage higher than what you're willing to pay? Are the monthly payments for the rest of your life? You said, no, it ain't like that, Brother White. No. It's just in the teenage years that the peer pressure is so strong. I'm sorry, but I'm in my 50s and the peer pressure is still the same. There's monthly payments that you pay for the rest of your life if you're going to pay the perpetual price of this apostolic heritage. I wonder if there's any Naboths in this house. Any Naboths at Pacific Coast Camp would say, Ahab, there is no better vineyard than what I taste of when I come around the altar and I say yes to holiness and separation unto God. There's no sweeter joy that I feel than when I kneel in the presence of God. Say, God, there's only one altar that I kneel at. There's only one place that I bring incense to. There's only one. The price of my apostolic heritage is something I am committed to pay for the rest of my life. Come gather, moms and dads. Just for tonight, unless you have a baby or children to tend to, would you come gather in close behind?